Good morning. If you guys would you open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1 as we begin this new series in the book of Proverbs, which is in the Old Testament, would be considered wisdom literature. If you don't have a Bible on your phone or with you, if you look under the seat in front of you, there you'll find a leather-bound Bible. We'll be in the book of Proverbs. Now, as you turn there, I want to let you in on a little bit about myself this morning, and that is, I want to talk about friends just for a moment. Now, I grew up with a mentor named Dan who used to tell me that he had as many friends as he could count on one hand, and he said, well, one day you will find out that this is true, and his whole entire point is that it's really hard to get close to a lot of people. But it's also really challenging to build trust with more than two or three people. And so what Dan has always told me is, Will, you're going to have two or three really good friends for the rest of your life, and that'll be about it. Now, as I think about my friends, though, here's what's really funny, and my wife would agree. Most of my friends, and I say this because, like, we have a lot of people in this room that I would consider friends. But I'm talking about like my closest, most trusted friends are usually probably 10, 15, even 20 years older than me. Would you agree, Aaron? Most of our friends are older men and older women. Now, I want to tell you why that is. It's because early on in our relationship as a husband and wife, you know what we realized? Probably what most of you have realized is that we don't have everything figured out. Like, there are many things in life that I just am not going to be able to navigate without someone in my life who can help me navigate that decision or that response. And so my wife and I, we have surrounded ourselves with men and women who are older than us because we know that we need wisdom and insight, discernment, and instruction when it comes to living life. And now as you sit here today, I'm not necessarily interested about your friends, but what I am interested in is about your disposition as a person. As you think about life and all that is to be lived before you, do you feel like you're the kind of person that is open to instruction? Are you open to listening? Are you open to being led? Or are you the kind of individual that really just frankly feels like you've got life figured out? I want you to think seriously about this question because as we jump into the book of Proverbs, Solomon is going to tell us something very important that I do not want you to miss this morning, and that is this. If we want wisdom and we want to know how to live, there are two very important things that we have to grab a hold of as people. Thing number one is we have to have a growth mindset toward life. Have to. And thing two is we need to be in relationship to God. That when we approach life from the humble perspective that we got growth to do, and we do that in relationship to God, Solomon says that's what it looks like to be wise. So here's the truth that we're going to unpack together as a church this morning is this, is Proverbs invites us to have a growth mindset toward life in relationship to God, or that begins with knowing God. So I want you to look with me in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 this morning. Solomon says this. He says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. So here's what I want us to think about just for a moment. First and foremost, like, what are Proverbs? I don't know about you, but my experience with the book of Proverbs, speaking of my buddy Dan earlier, Dan had one child, and it was a son. And oftentimes, I would have the opportunity to ride with Dan to school as he would take Jake to school. And Dan, with Jake, for years, he would read Proverbs to his son. He said, there are 31 Proverbs in the entire book, which means you can read one chapter a day for the next 30 days, and you can cover the entire book. And so Dan would read Proverbs to his son Jake on the way to school. And so my point in sharing that is, it's likely that we all have some level of experience with the book of Proverbs. We understand that they are short, pithy sayings, but really, like, what is Proverbs all about? Well, if you look at verse 1, this is what it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David. So here's what I want you to understand. The book of Proverbs is named after the first word that occurs in the book, and that is the word Proverbs. The second thing that I want you guys to understand as it relates to Proverbs is this, is the word proverb in Hebrew is pronounced, you got to say it with me. If I'm going to say it, you're going to say it, all right? Masal. Masal. In Hebrews, that's what the word Proverbs is. Now, here's what's interesting about this word masal. Is masal literally means to be an example or to be a model, even a mirror. So here's what I want us to understand really quickly. Is Proverbs from chapter 1 to chapter 31 are intended to be for us a model for how we ought to live. Think about that for a minute. Here's what it means. Is while is it important to know a proverb, it is entirely more important to actually attempt to live a proverb. And that's what Proverbs is all about. It's given, they are given to us to be modeled. So here's how I want to define Proverbs for you really quickly. I think it may be on the screen. I might have skipped it. But a proverb is a truth written by wise men, and I use that intentionally because there are four authors I'll get to in the book of Proverbs, and they were all men. But a proverb is a truth written by men that was inspired by God as they observed insights into life. So here's what you'll get in Proverbs, is you'll get keen insights from wise men on how life works. But not only that, what it's going to do is it's going to help us understand things like, how does marriage work? If you've read Proverbs, you know, how do relationships work? How does parenting work? What's our relationship to finances? How about to one another? So Proverbs are keen insights on how the world God created works. And the last thing that I want us to understand about Proverbs is that they are intensely practical. Like, I don't want you to overcomplicate this. Get me. If you read Proverbs, you will know and you will find out very quickly that it takes some mental effort to understand the Proverbs. There are some that are just straightforward, like this, for example. A little folding of hands, Solomon says, and soon poverty will overcome your life. That's pretty straightforward. It's like there is great benefit in working. But then there are proverbs that will say something to the effect of, let me see if I can find it. Oh, this will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. It's like that takes a little bit of effort to think about. But what I want you guys to understand as it relates to Proverbs this morning is that they are examples to be followed, and they're very, very practical truths. Now, who actually wrote the book of Proverbs? Well, the very first verse of Proverbs says that these are the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Now, if you know anything about your Old Testament history, you know that not only was Solomon the wisest king of Israel, but he also was the most wealthy king of Israel. And if you're thinking this morning, you might be wondering, you're like, okay, what qualifies Solomon then to write wisdom literature? Like, am I just supposed to accept the fact that Solomon knows what he's talking about? Well, here's what's really interesting is when Solomon was anointed king of Israel, Solomon was a young man. And I don't know if you've ever been appointed to a really large task as a young woman or a young man, but it can be a very intimidating thing, am I right? Imagine being king. And one evening, Solomon is praying and he's talking to the Lord, and God responds to Solomon. And God asks Solomon this really simple question: what would you like for me to do for you? Surely you guys know how the story goes, right? If you know anything about Solomon, you know this. Solomon could have asked God for anything. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for influence. He could have asked for the nations, you name it, anything. And Solomon says, I'm a young man that does not know how to lead. Would you give me wisdom? And the most remarkable thing happened. God blessed Solomon with wisdom. And as, what is it, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12 says that God gave Solomon more wisdom than he gave any other human being that has ever lived. 1 Kings 13:12. I will therefore do what you have asked, the Lord says. I will give you wisdom and understanding heart so that there has never been anyone like you before and never will be again. So what's going on here? Is this is God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, telling us that King Solomon and his words are some of the wisest, most understanding and discerning words you will ever read in your life. You can forget about the YouTube shorts and the self-help section in Barnes & Noble. I can guarantee you this. You will find no better guidance for your life personally, for your marriage, for your parenting, for your spirituality, you name it, than in this book. In the book of Proverbs. Now, Solomon isn't the only author of Proverbs. We have three other men. We have the men of Hezekiah. We have some guy named Agur. It's an interesting name. And then Lemuel. Together, you have these four authors of the book of Proverbs, edited and compiled together to form this one book. Now, if you guys are still with me, you might be asking yourself then, all right, I want to try and bring things back as much as I can this morning. We have Proverbs, practical sayings written by very wise men that give us insight on how life works. So then what are the purpose of Proverbs? Like what, how does God intend for them to work in our life? Well, look at verse 2. The Proverbs are for learning wisdom and discipline. Discipline now is another word that it means correction. So Proverbs is wisdom that's intended to correct us. Which means if any of you can connect with my story as I open my sermon, we all know that there are many times in our life that we had made poor decisions, we have made mistakes, we haven't seen things clearly, we haven't responded appropriately, which means we all as human beings are what? Open to correction. But wisdom, you wanna learn another Hebrew word? I'm only doing this because it's fun. Like, I took 3 years of Hebrew in seminary. I got to at least say one Hebrew word to get my money's worth. The word wisdom in Hebrew, literally, you're going to say this with me too, means it is chokmah. Chokmah. Not Hulk smash, but chokmah. Now, get this, though. Chokmah means, where is it? Okay. Chokmah is a word that the Hebrews used to talk about God aligning one's life with God's created order. Like, I mean, talk about a powerful word. This is what he's saying. Is the God of heaven and earth, the God of Jesus Christ, his Son, and the Spirit, the triune God, when he created the heavens and the earth, the work of his hands, guess what? He left his wisdom ingrained in every fabric of this world. That means that this world works according to God's design, which means that we can either be out of alignment with God's design, or we can be in alignment with God's design. So, pause just for a minute. Proverbs teaches us wisdom. And wisdom is this, when we live all of life aligned with God's created order. I can't think of anything more freeing, more purpose-filled, than living all of life according to God's design. But here's what we need to understand really quickly, and we'll move on, is wisdom, what is wisdom going to produce? This is very important to understand. Throughout the book of Proverbs, there are going to be three words introduced to us frequently. That is righteousness, justice, and integrity. So here's what Solomon wants us to understand. Proverbs teach us how to align our life with God's word. And when we align our life with God's word and design, it's going to produce a different life. It's going to produce a different person. It's going to make us righteous, just, and upright. Now, what do these words mean? Let's take righteousness for a moment. It's a word that's often used in Proverbs, but the word righteous literally means in Proverbs to be in right relationship with one another. But not only just one another, but also with God. So as you think about that, if righteousness is being in right relationship with one another, then it shouldn't surprise us then that Proverbs has a lot to say about marriage. Because where do you get out of sorts more than any other relationship in the world than in marriage? And so Solomon is going to help us understand marriage. He's going to help us understand work. He's also going to help us understand how we relate to a world that believes and lives differently than we do. And he's just going to call those people fools. And then you have integrity. Now, integrity means uprightness. I wish I had a level here. If you've ever hung a picture, or you've ever nailed in a stud in a house, you understand what a level is. Miss Jen, you're an architect. You know a level. A level is a plumb line. And so what Solomon is going to tell us is that wisdom helps us live an upright or right life. And then finally, he tells us it's going to help produce justice in us. And now, why is justice important? Well, because justice is this feeling that arises in us when we look out at a world and we see things that are not in alignment with God's design. And it's going to compel us to make things right. And so here's what I want us to get, and we'll move on, is Proverbs teach us wisdom. And when we grab a hold of wisdom, it's going to produce righteousness, justice, and integrity. Now, here's how I want you to think about this just for a moment. Recently, I've found this new podcast. And I know, like, there are millions upon millions upon millions of podcasts. You can listen to any one of them. But one that I find particularly fun and helpful is this guy named Andrew Huberman. Anybody ever heard of him? Maybe, maybe not. Okay, so he's a guy I've been listening to lately who's very helpful. Whenever he comes on, my son asks me, he says, "Dad, will you skip this?" Because it can be really, really boring. He's like a neuroscience guy, but he talks about everything from sleep to nutrition to stress, you name it. But recently, I was listening to him in a interview a guy named Dr. Mark Brackett. who wrote a book on emotions called Permission to Feel. Now, I've been really interested in that subject, so I'm reading Dr. Mark Brackett's book, and I'm listening to this podcast. And in the podcast, Dr. Huberman is talking to Dr. Brackett about emotions. And Dr. Huberman says something that Dr. Mark disagrees with regards to how he understands emotions. And Andrew goes, okay, I see what you're saying. I'm going from this point forward to adjust how I've thought about this and try and think about it differently. And Dr. Brackett says this. He goes, that doesn't surprise me at all. He says, you have a growth mindset when it comes to life. Now, that might not be very profound to you, but it was very profound to me. Because what Dr. Andrew essentially was saying is, I am willing to adjust the way that I have thought about this and the way that I have related to others because I've seen it wrongly. Now, the reason that I'm sharing this is because I think that probably, it shouldn't take much for us to see this, but I think one of the primary problems in our culture today and within the church is that we are dead set on what we know and what we believe, and don't you dare tell me differently. Am I right or wrong? It seems to me, in the world that we live in, people are becoming more and more confident in what they believe, even if what they believe is categorically and utterly completely wrong. Now, you're entitled to have that kind of outlook on life. I don't think it's the right outlook on life, but you're entitled to it. It's a part of the freedom that God has given all of us. But here's what I want you to know, that when it comes to living in wisdom, accessing wisdom, we cannot have a mindset that says, I've got it all figured out. We have to be open to listening, to learning, and obtaining guidance. And here's where I get this really quickly. Look with me at verse 5. Listen very closely to what Solomon says. He says, let a wise person listen, increase in learning, and obtain guidance. Do you hear that? If we are going to possess wisdom in life, here's what it requires of us. First and foremost, that we're able, we're willing, and receptive to listening. And it seems to me that that is the last thing anybody wants to do today. Is listen to anyone, especially people that are different. But if we're going to obtain wisdom, we have to have a receptive posture. So I want you to, as we start this study in the book of Proverbs, I want you to just ask your question, am I receptive? Am I open to listening? The second thing that he says is that you would learn. Now here's what's interesting about this word learning, is it doesn't just mean to possess knowledge, which is what we often think of, right? It's like we learn something new, we know it. But learning in the book of Proverbs literally means to apply what you've learned. So this is what Solomon is saying, is if you want to be wise, you need to be open to listening, but more than that, you've got to be willing to be curious and bold enough to apply the things that you learn. In other words, try out the Word of God. Try it out. And the third thing is that you would obtain guidance. So this is probably one of the most important ones of them all. Proverbs is going to call us to live in community. You can't obtain guidance in isolation. You can't live in wisdom without the help of others. And so what Proverbs is going to call us to do is not only open our life to listening and learning from other people, but most importantly from God. And that's where we're going to end today with this last truth. So Proverbs invites us to have a growth mindset toward life. And then lastly, Proverbs is going to invite us into relationship with the God of wisdom. Proverbs is going to invite us to live in relationship with the God of wisdom. So let's, how do I put this? What is verse 7 like? Verse 7 in Proverbs is like a terminal when you go to an airport. You go to Pittsburgh International Airport and you're going to fly out of gate D17. You look at your ticket, you start, you grab your little coffee there at the strip district, maybe a little banana, and you walk to gate D17. The reason you go to D17 is because unless you get to D17, guess what? You're not making your connection or getting where you're going. So when you get to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, this is the gate. This is the key to accessing wisdom. If you don't get here, you don't get wisdom, is what Solomon is saying. So listen to this. Solomon says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." So I want us to get this really quickly. Is Solomon is going to use a lot of words interchangeably in his book. One of them is knowledge. When Solomon says wisdom, he means knowledge. And when Solomon says knowledge, he means wisdom. They are synonyms. And so what he's trying to help us understand is this, that I'll just read it. If we're to understand Proverbs, we must first seek to know the God of the Proverbs. We cannot. The Proverbs will seem totally foreign to us. The Proverbs will be inaccessible to us. There will be nothing about them that is desirous to us if we first don't know the God who has produced the Proverbs. So when he says that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord, what Solomon is trying to help us understand is the starting place to wisdom is in relationship to the God of wisdom. Does that make sense? It's the key. It's the access point. So, now I get, I was talking to my wife this week. She's always like, I don't think she really goes, "What are you preaching on this week?" Hardly ever. I'm the one that comes out of my, I don't know, my bedroom after studying or come back from the coffee shop and I'm like, "Let me tell you what I've learned." And one of them was the fear of the Lord. And she says, "Will, are you going to explain that this Sunday?" And I said, "Well, of course." It literally is the most important verse in all of the book of Proverbs. That if we fail to understand what is the fear of the Lord, then we will fail to obtain wisdom. But here's what I want us to get. Can I use another fun word for us this morning? We've done masal. We've done chokmah. Can we do co-location? I know, what in the world is that? You know what co-location is. You've just never defined it. Co-location, that is what this word is, fear of the Lord. That is the word. That's what it means. Here's what a co-location is. Heavy rain. Right? Ice storm. It is two words that are totally different in some regards, but associated together that you cannot understand in isolation from one another. In other words, you can't understand fear apart from the Lord, and you can't understand the Lord apart from fear. You have to understand them together. For example, I know you're looking at me, you're like, "Well, that wasn't all that helpful." But here's how I was thinking about it this morning. Imagine talking to someone about, say, it's spring training. The Pirates are about to start playing. Imagine you're trying to teach someone what home plate is. You guys know what home plate is, right? Home plate is the place the batter stands and the catcher's there with the umpire, call balls and strikes or hit the ball. Imagine you're just trying to describe to someone what home plate is and you show them a house and you show them a dish. Not all that helpful. But if you bring them to a ballpark and you put them in the context of the game and you say, hey, this is home plate. This is where it starts. This is where the ball is pitched and where it's hit. And you run first, second, third, and you come back to home and you score. So, if we're going to understand fear of the Lord, we need to understand them in relationship to one another. We need to understand them in the context of the entire Bible, which means there are two things that we need to get. One is when the fear of the Lord has a rational aspect to it, but it also has a psychological aspect to it. And here's what I mean. Psalm chapter 34, verse 11, this is what it's going to tell us, is that the fear of the Lord can be taught. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is something that can be taught. Listen what the psalmist says. Come, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of God is something that you and I can communicate to one another. But not only that, the fear of the Lord is something that can be memorized. Listen to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart toward understanding, if you call out to insight and lift up your voice, if you seek it like silver, search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. What is this father trying to teach his son? Is that the fear of God is something that can be memorized. We can take the word of the Lord, we can read it, store it up in our minds and hearts to enable us to live and make decisions and relate to people in everyday life. Why? Because the word of God is stored up in us. The fear of God can be taught, it can be memorized, but then the other thing is it ought to be believed. Psalm 19, I believe verse 9, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances or the words of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. So what is the fear of God? The fear of God means believing the word of God as a right guide for our life. These are all rational things. Fear of God can be taught, it can be memorized, it ought to be believed, but then there are psychological aspects of the fear of the Lord. Are you guys with me or is this boring? You hear? We track it? Okay. The fear of God has a psychological aspect to it, and it produces, one, humility. Listen to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is what wisdom teaches, and humility comes before honor. All right, I want you to listen closely, because this is one of the more significant aspects of the fear of the Lord. The fear of God is reverential fear of the supreme authority in all of life. Like if what Scripture says is true of God, God is creator, supreme authority, which means as individuals, we can either live in submission to this God or in resistance to this God. But if we're going to live in fear of the Lord, it means we have to live humbly under God's authority. And then the fear of the Lord is love. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 2. Oh, man, did I cut that verse off, Darren? Let me just go ahead and get there. Deuteronomy chapter 5. I didn't give him the entire verse. I want you to hear this. Deuteronomy 5, verse 2 says, the Lord our God made a covenant with Horeb. He did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with all of us who are alive today. The Lord spoke to you face to face from the fire on the mountain. And at that time, I was standing between the Lord and you to report the word of the Lord because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up on the mountain. And the Lord said to me, let me see, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery. And then God unpacks the Ten Commandments. And then we get to, where is it? Right here. Chapter 6, verse 2 says, the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you so that you may follow his commands in the land. Do this that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life, keeping his statutes and commandments I am giving you today to your sons and to your grandsons. Okay, sorry, I got a little twisted there for a moment. It was Deuteronomy 6:2, not Deuteronomy 5:2. Deuteronomy 6:2, fear of the Lord is loving obedience to the Father. C. Bridges, he's a commentator on Proverbs, he puts it this way. He says, the one who fears the Lord bends themselves humbly and carefully to God's word. So here's what we'll see in the book of Proverbs, and we'll bring this sermon to a close. Solomon says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and correction. So throughout the book of Proverbs, from this point forward, we're going to be introduced to two paths. Path number one is a path of wisdom that leads to life. Path number two is the path of foolishness that leads to death. And every single person on planet Earth is presented with these two paths. But how is it that we find the path of wisdom that leads to life? Solomon says it begins with a relationship with God. And so I just want to ask you a simple question this morning is, do you have that relationship? Do you have that relationship with God? And I'm not just talking about any God. I'm talking about the God of the Bible, the God of Jesus Christ, his Son, the triune God of the Spirit, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you have a relationship with him? Because that's the beginning of wisdom. If you want wisdom and you want to benefit from life the best you can, what Proverbs is going to tell us is it begins with knowing God. Now, I get maybe if you were asked that question, do you know God? You might immediately will go, well, yeah, sure I do. I know God. He and I are good. Now, I want to ask you a question, though, because I want to provide some objective ways that you could answer that question the way that Proverbs answers that question. If you have a relationship with God, you will first and foremost have a relationship with his Son. And here's why. Proverbs, God has a relationship with his people through covenant promise. And in the New Testament, God has a relationship with us through his Son, Jesus, who is the carrier of all of his promises. So if we're going to have a relationship with God, we have to have a relationship with him by trusting in his one and only Son. So to answer the question, do I have a relationship with God? You would ask yourself, do I trust in Christ his Son? But the second thing is this. We read it in Proverbs chapter 2. If you have a relationship with God, what the Proverbs is going to tell us is you're going to desire him above all things. You're going to seek him more than gold. You're going to go after him more than fame, more than comfort. You're going to desire him. And then lastly, if you have a relationship with God, you're going to live in obedience. And I think this is probably the hardest one of them all. It literally is the dividing line, I think. Because, I mean, we have a relationship with Christ. But in Deuteronomy 6:2, God says, you express your love for me through obedience. And then you would think, man, maybe God let that go a little bit. He's relaxed that some. And then you get to Jesus, and what does Jesus say to his disciples? He says, you show the world that you love me in the way that you obey me and love one another. And so if we're going to ask ourselves this question, do I live in fear of God? Am I ready to sort of take this journey toward wisdom? You would have to ask yourself the question, have I trusted his Son? Do I desire him more than anything else? And most importantly, am I living in obedience to his word? That's what it means to live in fear of God. And if you're in that place, you're on the precipice of wisdom. But if you're not, you're what Solomon would call living in foolishness. Now, when my family and I moved to Pittsburgh, we rented a house in Cranberry for like 2 years. It was a great house. It was a new house. It was the newest house we had ever lived in. I mean, it was kind of like bougie status a little bit. Like, it's like to date, it had been the nicest house we had ever lived in, but it wasn't our house. We were renting it. And you know what that's like? Who wants to rent? Who wants to give someone else your money so they can get ahead in life? It's like, no, I want to get ahead. I want to buy my own house, build some equity so I can turn that thing, right? So we decide we're going to buy a house. But what was really cool about living in Cranberry is it gave us 2 years to find a place that we wanted to live. And we found Adams Ridge. And it's a beautiful neighborhood. In fact, there's some people sitting just to the right of me that we met in Adams Ridge. It was full of lovely people. We've made friends there. And I had this really good realtor. His name was Ariel. If you ever need one, he's phenomenal. He found us this beautiful townhome there. And I'll never forget the day we showed up to get our townhouse. There in front of us, now it's not much, but it's ours. It's our home. It's the place where we're going to build our family. We're going to invest in our marriage. We're going to weep. We're going to cry. We're going to sleep. We're going to laugh. We're going to eat. Like all of life is going to happen in this little townhouse. And we stood in the driveway having signed all the papers but couldn't access the house because we didn't have the keys. So we waited in our driveway, and then there comes Ariel with this massive bottle of champagne. Congrats on your new house. And then he does something that we often take advantage of every single day. He hands us keys to the house. And he says, it's yours. You can go in. You can live in there. And we went into that home, man, and we, for the past 3 years, have been establishing a life in this home. Now, Solomon says, the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. The way that you access life and wisdom is through the keys. And the key is God. And the way you access God is through his son, Christ. And so if you're here today and you're looking to improve life, you've tried everything and nothing seems to be working, I want to ask you this simple question. Have you tried wisdom? Have you tried Proverbs? Let's pray. Father, as we begin this journey, Lord, I ask you that you would create in us a humble disposition. Lord, would you help us be receptive to listening? God, would you give us the courage we need to apply your word to our life? And then, Lord, would you open us up, some of us maybe for the very first time, to inviting other people into our life to help us live. But more importantly than anything else, Lord, would we be open and receptive to having a relationship with you? God, I pray that every single person in this place today would leave knowing where they are with God. Are they living in fear of the Lord, or have they despised him, as the Proverbs say? And Lord, I pray that you would allow us to journey with those that want the Lord and help them follow him. In Jesus' name, amen.